This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for an election recap. Last night was a big night in our country and in our state, where more than 300,000 more people voted in a midterm election than voted in the 2015 governor's election. So something is going on to energize the electorate, and we'll talk about what's happening. But a Secretary of State's the race was a surprise. Kyle Ardoin ran first, the interim Secretary of State, but in second place, Gwen Collins-Greenup finished ahead of Renee Fontenot-Free. And Renee Fontenot-Free was the endorsed Democrat, but another Democrat, Gwen Collins-Greenup, who spent about $5,000, is in the race. Julie Stokes, who spent more than $500,000, got 11%. We'll talk about it with Trey Orso, longtime Democratic political consultant, former executive director of the Louisiana Democratic Party, and Daryl Glasper, GOP activist of note locally and nationally, former Democratic Metro Councilman from Baton Rouge. Your number is 877-217-5757 and 297-5633. And all six amendments passed as well, including the one that now will require unanimous jury verdicts in felony trials. On the national scene, Democrats have gained the United States House and right now have a net gain of 27 seats, with about 20 seats still to be determined. In the Senate, the Republicans have gained 3 seats and lead 52-45, so there are 3 to be determined, and all 3 of those races are close in Florida, in Montana, and in Arizona, but right now Republicans lead in all 3. And in the governor's elections, Democrats have gained 7 seats. Republicans have 25 and Democrats have 22, and Democrats are confident of gaining at least one more in the state of Wisconsin. So each side is declaring victory, and let's begin with you, Trey Orso. Who actually won last night?
Good morning, Jim. Well, last night, I think, was a pretty good night for the Democrats. It seemed early like it was going to be a great night, and then the races in Florida and Georgia turned a little south for us. And of course, Beto took an early lead in Texas, and then he fell behind and lost. Those races had garnered so much publicity, and so many people around the country were watching them that for a little while, I think a lot of the people on the Democratic side got a little bit bummed out and were like, "Oh no, you know, it's not going to be such a great night." But as you just mentioned, if you stayed up late enough and were able to stay up late enough, or if you looked at it this morning, all in all, the Democrats had a really good night. Mostly where most of the political professionals and pundits predicted it would be. They took back the House. I think by the time it's all said and done, it's going to be in the mid-30 seat pickup. Most professionals thought that the Republicans would gain a couple seats in the Senate. It looks like they're actually going to maybe gain 3 or 4. A lot of that credit could be given to the president. You know, he really pounded away at some of those states that he went into in the last week. The McCaskill race in Missouri, the Donnelly race in Indiana. Maybe it looks like Tester in Montana could be in trouble. That race is very close now. The Florida race, the polling looked really good for Nelson. I know it's, you know, not declared yet. It looks like it's within a half. In Florida, if it's within a half a point, there's an automatic recount. So the Senate, the map was terrible for Democrats the whole time. But where people really ought to pay a lot of attention once you get past the congressional stuff, the Democrats picked up 7 gubernatorial seats yesterday. That's more gubernatorial pickups in over 25 years. That's a really big night. And on top of that, they flipped 7 legislative chambers and picked up over 350 legislative seats around the country. And as we enter the 2020 census and redistricting, those are really big gains. Democrats won governorship in Kansas. They beat Kris Kobach, who was a huge Trump guy, the Secretary of State there, who, you know, headed all of Trump's voter fraud stuff around the country and stuff like that. So, I mean, we won some really big races. I feel pretty good about it. Of course, we'd have loved to pick up a couple of these other seats, but all in all, I think it was a pretty good night.
Darrell Glasper, the president, is declaring victory. Does he have reason to?
I think the president is right in his assessment that it was a pretty good night simply because there was no surprises. I think all of the professionals that was looking at these races knew that the house was going to flip. It is it's customary that the party in power will lose a large number of seats because the American people are very, very fair. I think more than anything else, the people of the United States of America won last night, and I tell you why. Because now you have a true two-party system. You've got the House that's in control. They wanted power, and they got it. They have an opportunity now to work with probably it's going to go down as one of the most productive presidents in the history of this country. He has done more in 2.5 years. This man has captivated the electric around the nation. Look, in every state, Jim, you've never seen races this close, razor thin. Now, being a former politician, I understand how this system works, because when you look at all of these house seats that's flipped. Now you got to remember, Barack Obama and when they were in power, they lost a lot of seats.
Yeah, and he called it a shellacking. Now Trump is calling it a victory.
Well, no. Let me tell you why. He called it a shellacking, because they didn't have an answer. Now let me tell you this, because I understand how the system worked, and if you want to criticize me, let me tell you what we have in front of us now. We have a two-party system where the Democrats, and I'm going to predict this sitting right here, they're going to work with this president. You know why? Because the antics that they use prior to this election, they didn't work. They have an opportunity now. Now listen to me. They have an opportunity to do something about immigration. They have something to do about education in these inner cities. They have something to do about trying to get economic development.
Hold on. You're covering a lot of ground, Darrell, but basically you're saying this is an affirmation of President Trump, who got 46% of the votes 2 years ago, and now Republicans in the U.S. House races got nationwide 46%, maybe even a little lower than that. Democrats won by about 9 points when the actual votes are tabulated. So Democrats have a majority in this country when it comes to actual votes.
Right.
But they've got to find a candidate to beat Trump. And Trey Orso, is there anyone? They're talking about Beto O'Rourke, who lost his Senate race. Who is out there who can defeat the president?
I think you're going to have a big field of candidates, and I think that race is going to start pretty soon. But I don't understand some of these arguments. The president's been there for a couple of years with Republicans controlling both chambers, the Congress and the Senate. And Darrell just mentioned immigration, for instance. And the president's been going around the country the last few weeks with his campaign of fear, talking about immigration laws, and we got these horrible immigration laws. They've had 2 years where they've had the White House, the U.S. Senate, and the Congress where they have the majorities. They control the committees. They control the agendas. And they have done nothing on immigration. Why haven't they passed? If the president is so worried about the immigration laws, they've just had 2 full years of complete control of Congress, and they haven't passed squat. So what makes you think that now that we're going to have a divided government up there, that all of a sudden we're going to pass all these immigration laws if the Republicans, when they had complete control, couldn't pass it themselves?
Well, let me ask you a question, Trey. Remember when the president decided to take all the dreamers and make them legalized citizens? That is a fact. And the Democrats opposed it. They wouldn't work with him. Now let me say this. Now, this is something that's dear to me.
What president?
The president of the United States. Donald J. Trump was willing to allow dreamers to become United States citizens over his base, which was the Republican Party. Now, look, I'm talking facts now. I'm not talking baloney. But let me tell you why immigration is very, very, very near and dear to me. As an African-American in this country, that party The Democratic Party is allowing individuals to come into this country illegally. And African Americans who were here, we are United States citizens. You know what's going on in our schools. That these kids are listening to Spanish. You know what's going on with the workforce. And because this president put America first. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I hear it all the time. Because this president has put America first. Guess what? African-American unemployment is at the least it's ever been. Now, look, I know sometimes these things kind of get personal. It's not personal with me. It's called performance. I've always been like that. And so what I'm saying now is the Democratic Party has an opportunity to reward its base, which is those inner cities across this country.
877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. Matt Doyle is producing. The show is Talk Louisiana on WRKF and your numbers. 877-217-5757. 297-5633 in Baton Rouge. You can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And it was a night in which there's something for everybody. The Republicans have gained some seats in the Senate. Democrats have regained control of the U.S. House. And, of course, this has implications. The governors also across the country now will be more Democratic than before. Only 16 Democrats were in state houses as governors prior to last night. It'll be at least 22, maybe 23 when all is said and done. 877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace, we start with you. You're on with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, I think it was a good night for the progressive campaigns like Beto O'Rourke in Texas. You had Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania all flip from red to blue. And those were Trump states in the presidential election. And then you have Michigan declaring marijuana as legal. I mean, progressive ideas are out there, and the young voters are enthused, and that's just going to keep building. Thanks.
All right, Trey Orso, obviously turnout was amazing, and I think that has to be credited to the president, who has stimulated those for him and against him, and that is a very good thing.
I do think it's a good thing. I mean, you know, I've spent my professional career trying to get people to vote and trying to persuade those that do vote to vote for our clients, and so it's going to be the job of people in our profession to keep these people engaged. You had people in both parties that voted yesterday in yesterday's election that have never voted before. You had record turnout among young voters, people 18 to 29. The early vote numbers in Tennessee, we did a lot of work in Tennessee this year. Early vote numbers were up in Tennessee among 18 to 29-year-olds by 474% from 2014 to 2018. That's remarkable. And so these people are engaged. I've said my entire life that voters are habitual creatures. In other words, you know, once you get in the habit of voting, you always do, and once you get out of it, you don't. And so I think it's great, and hopefully that these people will remain engaged in the process.
Well, Florida has become the bellwether in presidential elections, and as we look ahead to 2020, 2 years from now, Florida looks like it'll be a Republican governor who's in charge, and sometimes that can swing an election. Donald Trump won there by 1 point 2 years ago. Was Florida the big blow for Democrats last night?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, Florida was tough. You know, you look at polling for weeks and weeks, and things swing back and forth. In the last week or two, both Gillum and Nelson appeared to be ahead. You know, they're all within the margin of error, but they both appeared to be ahead by 3 or 4 points in most of the polling that we had seen. So, you know, you think you're going to win them, but those numbers tracked each other very closely all night long if you looked at them. And so that seems to be a disappointment for sure.
Jim, two.
Quickly. Go ahead.
Two big things stood out to me last night. One was the Ohio in Florida. Those are two critical states in the upcoming presidential race in 2020.
Okay. David in Atlanta. David, you're on the air with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think the Republicans in the House of Representatives, because of gerrymandering, the Democrats start off with a disadvantage. They are a victim of their own greed while cutting taxes for the wealthy and at the same time trying to take health care away from needy people and then lying about it. And Mr. Glasper, when President Trump said that Stacey Abrams is unqualified, given the woman has a Yale law degree, the leader, minority leader of the Georgia Assembly, was he sending a message saying don't vote for that black woman?
Look, my friend, let me tell you what my grandmother said. You, every time you call in talking about racism. I'm going to tell you again, I'm an economics guy. So it takes one to know one. Don't talk to me about no racism and all that kind of foolishness. Talk to me about the facts, and the facts are if a person is going to take a state in the wrong direction, then I can tell you a whole lot of people that, in my estimation, that are public officials not qualified, both Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. And that's not talking about their ethnicity. It talk about their qualifications.
All right, that race, by the way, has not yet been determined. It has been determined that Kemp, the Republican, will finish first, but he may not get 50%,
right.
And
it could be a runoff.
It could be a runoff, and Trey Orso, that next to Florida, that and Texas, that was where the Democrats were really putting a lot of their green stamps, and it looks like they may have fallen just a bit short.
Well, they're big states. The candidates were charismatic. You had a chance to elect the first African-American woman governor in the history of this country. You had a chance to elect an African-American governor in Florida. Just the chance to be competitive in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. Those were all big stories in big states. They generated a lot of interest. They raised a lot of money. So that's why they gained a lot of attention. And I will say this. I mean, anybody can try and deny it or not, but, you know, the president finished his campaign on a message of fear, racial division. You know, Abrams was not qualified in Georgia.
Gillum
was going to be a thief in Florida. He put up an ad that was so outrageous and mm-hmm. racially over the top that even Fox took it off the air. And, you know, I just think when the country has come to a point to where the president of the United States' closing message is so divisive and so racially charged, mm-hmm. it really takes us to a point of self-examination.
Well, right now, the only Democratic governor in the Deep South is John Bel Edwards, governor of Louisiana, who's up for re-election in 11 months. Daryl Glasper, are you salivating at the chances of unseating our Democratic governor in Louisiana?
No, sir. And let me tell you why. Because you remember what you just said? 300,000 more people voted in Louisiana than they did in previous elections.
In the election of 2015, a marquee election, and this, an election that didn't have a lot of appeal in Louisiana as far as really candidates who could stimulate the vote, but yet 346,000 more people voted in the Secretary of State's race in Louisiana yesterday than in the governor's election primary in 2015.
What did that tell you? That tell you that the people of Louisiana is energized. And let me say this to you, an energized elected of elected people, you don't know how it's going to turn out. I can tell you what, it's going to, if the right candidate get in the race, John Bell, and I can sit here and say this, he's going to be a 900-pound gorilla because you know why?
Not 800, but a 900-pound gorilla.
No, a 900-pound gorilla because people, and Trey said it, they're creatures of habit. If this man hadn't done anything that's wrong in this state, in the eyes of the majority of the people, look, regardless of party, mm-hmm. people vote their pocketbook, they vote their safety, and they vote for education, they vote for their families.
All right, Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Morning. Yeah, Mr. Glasper, as an economics guy, as you say, should the Congress take a first step in bringing down the deficit by canceling the tax breaks for the rich?
No, sir. Because it's stimulating the economy, and if you can get both houses working together, you'll bring down the deficit. And I understand that everybody's talking about the Republicans and how much the deficit is ballooning. Now look, the President of the United States is saying that if you go and you give a tax break to the middle class, you're gonna cover just about everybody. But let me say this to you. The economy turned around in this country.
Hold up, Jim. Sugar high, according to some, Daryl.
Hold up, Jim, but let me finish up now. Y'all cut me off.
Okay, well, we got to go to the news right now. Okay. But we'll resume our discussion with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso. Your number 877-217-5757. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for an election recap on Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Your numbers again, 877-217-5757 in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. Our email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Democratic political consultant Trey Orso does work all over the country, along with his partner Michael Baychok. He is with us, along with Daryl Glasper, who has been touted as a prominent Republican spokesman on the national scene, recently appeared at a summit in Washington at the Trump Hotel, where he was the keynoter, hosted by one Steve Bannon, former Metro councilman from Baton Rouge, who is a Democratic elected official now, as you can hear, is a GOP with lots of passion about his party and his president. 877-217-5757, and Donald Trump is our president until further notice, and he has at least 2 years left, and we are certainly going to talk about what may happen in 2020, but in Louisiana, all six congressmen in Louisiana won easily. Garrett Graves reelected, Cedric Richmond reelected, who represent Baton Rouge, both of them. And in Acadiana, Clay Higgins had the closest call. He got about 55% of the votes. In the Secretary of State's race, Trey Orso, you were executive director of the Democratic Party, and the Democrats endorsed Renee Fontenot Free and yet another Democrat who spent about $5,000. Gwen Collins Greenup comes out of nowhere and gets in second place and is in a runoff with Kyle Ardoin. What is going on? Are you speechless?
Can you hear the silence? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's a placement on the ballot. She was the first Democrat on the ballot, if it's that simple.
And she got that way by putting a hyphen between Collins and Greenup. Otherwise, she would have been second on the ballot.
Well, there you go. That was a
brilliant move. And Ardoin was the first Republican on the ballot.
I mean, look, the race didn't generate a lot of interest. That seemed like the most interest the race generated was yesterday on Election Day, when apparently some of the polling places ran out of the little "I voted" stickers. That was all the rage on Twitter yesterday. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to her. I'm not familiar with her. I had not previously heard of her. And I think that's just an amazing feat. I don't have an explanation for it. People were not engaged in the race. Obviously, some of these other candidates, the thing that I find more amazing is that some of these other candidates, particularly some of the Republicans, who spent considerable amounts of money and hundreds of thousands of dollars on television advertising, apparently that did not pan out for them.
They didn't get anywhere close to Gwen Collins Greenup.
No.
And another Republican, this guy Thomas Kennedy, who was a non-entity, he got almost 10% of the votes, probably because his last name was Kennedy.
Brilliant. I don't know.
Jim, is Ms. Collins an African-American?
She is.
And let me tell you.
This is your chance, Daryl, to elect an African-American, first African-American statewide. Do you think it will happen?
Once again, this is my issue has been with the Democratic Party. When you have a qualified African-American, it started with Michael Jackson and on and on and on. And I'm talking about, I lived here, I'm 65 years old. I've been here a long time. When you have a qualified African-American running for a statewide office, they never are backed by the full force of the Democratic Party, and even Cleo Fields to some extent. Now let me say this.
Well, the party endorsed Cleo when Bill Jefferson ran.
Let's go back to this race right here. She was an African American. She was qualified, and she was running. She spent $5,000. And you know what that tells me, Jim? It's not about the money. It's about these inner city districts all over, these urban areas all over the state of Louisiana, they went out and they voted for this young lady. Now, Kyle Aldwin and her in the runoff, let's see how much money, how much organization, and how much full force the Democratic Party is going to put behind her. Zero.
877-217-5757. Christine asks a good question, saying with the Republicans losing control of the U.S. House, does that make Steve Scalise a possible candidate for governor? Trey?
Well, I guess it could. I mean, Congressman Scalise doesn't seek my counsel very often, although we've been friends for many years. I personally don't think so. I think he has a long-term vision in Congress. And if you look at a lot of the seats that the Democrats won last night, they are in districts that the president carried 2 years ago and that he may very well carry again 2 years from now. And they will be hard to defend. My personal opinion, just take it for what it's worth, is that Congressman Scalise, with a long-term vision, would see himself, see the Republicans back in the majority at some point in the next few terms with the chance to be Speaker of the House.
Would Scalise be a good candidate against John Bel Edwards?
He would probably be the only one. I just got through saying it.
What about Kennedy?
Kennedy, listen to me. Kennedy is the darling of Washington, D.C., And being in control, the Republicans being in control in the Senate, it makes more sense that because Scalise is now part of the minority instead of majority again, he's not going to be the whip. So it makes more sense for him to look at it, and he will be a very formidable candidate. I can tell you that statewide.
Well, if he runs, I have my doubts, and don't count John Neely Kennedy out either. And if he's elected governor, he gets to appoint his successor. And perhaps he could appoint David Vitter. 877-217-5757. Gloria in New Orleans. Gloria, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Hi, I have a question for Trey. Why is the president's remark regarding this person is a thief, this person is unqualified, why are those comments racist, in your opinion?
I really do think they're racist. He doesn't say those things about the white candidates when he's out campaigning. He goes into these states and he says these things, particularly about candidates of color. And in Georgia, you have a woman who has a Yale degree, who was the leader of the legislature in her state. And he's going to go in there and just not qualified. She's not up for the job. It's historically, Gloria. Mm-hmm. If you can't see the flags that he's waving at his base, then I don't know a nice way to say it other than you need to get your prescription updated on your glasses. I mean, those are just racial flags that he is waving.
Trey
at
score
his base.
Any points with you, Gloria?
I'm sorry.
Did Trey make any points that you find palatable?
I mean, I don't think Donald Trump is a very he's not someone I would like to go to dinner with by any means. But I think we need to be very careful with honing in on the things that he says only when he's speaking of people of color, and maybe also listen to the other kinds of crazy things he says about people. Who are not people of color.
Right. I'd like to respond to that because I think, Gloria, you do make a great point there. The problem with President Trump, one of my biggest problems, and it's been from day one, words matter. He can say the most outrageous thing, and then everybody gets upset about it, and then they have to put Sarah Huckabee Sanders out there to say, oh, well, he didn't really mean that, or let me just tell you what he means. And then they try and back it down, and then an hour later, he tweets out something that's even more outrageous. And for him, he can say anything because in his world, words don't have consequences. But to everybody else, they do.
Daryl?
Well, look, let me say this. He's not the most politically correct guy, and that's what this country wanted.
Now, we can finally agree on something.
I know, but he's not. Listen to me. We didn't want somebody politically correct. We wanted somebody to take this country, put this country first. Right. Now, listen to me. It's not personal with me, and I tell people all the time. You know, it's not somebody you want to go to dinner with, or you want to go to their house, or you want to stay with them, you want to go on vacation. It doesn't make any difference. You want somebody who has enough coconuts in their pants and not peanuts that can go and protect this country, protect your family, get the economy going, get rid of bad trade deals. Look, this
all man, right. Well, but he does call a lot of people names, including
both white and black.
Well,
by
the
way,
he called a woman with whom he made love.
That's okay.
But
he's an equal opportunity guy, and let me tell you why. Because you can call him all kind of names, and he's supposed to sit there and take it. No, brother.
All right, Sally on Blue Bonnet. Hi, Sally. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Oh, hello. I was just calling. I would hope that someone on your staff would provide some fact-checking for the statement that Trump is a supporter of Dreamers. I mean, I think that's a laughable assertion. Part of the reason we're in the situation we're in right now is this is a fact-free universe that Trump has created. Until we start calling people to account for what they say and falsehoods that are put into the narrative that then these Kool-Aid drinking supporters swallow. That's why we're in this situation where reality just isn't playing out like people need it. And especially on matters that really count, like children in cages, people's, you know, pre-existing conditions being threatened. Luckily we got the house, but I'm just sick of like this unchallenged falsehoods.
Let me tell you, now, I could take that as a racist statement about Kool-Aid. I don't drink Kool-Aid, all right? But I could do that, but I'm not going to do it because my grandmother said, if you're going to call somebody racist, you're racist yourself. Now, I want to say this to you, and I know what I'm talking about. Donald Trump put on the table that he would allow Dreamers to become citizens to get an immigration bill done.
Right,
that is a fact.
And Trey, the president, I think it's fair to say, as Sally points out, has not been real forward-thinking on bringing immigrants into this country.
Right, Darryl. What was the trade-off for that?
Well, I don't know what the trade-off for, but Democrats didn't do it. And let me just say this to you. Everybody at this table, I'm the only African-American at this table, and I can tell you immigration hurt the African-American community more than it hurt anybody else. That is a fact.
877-217-5757. Thank you, Sally. We'll return to the phone lines with Trey Orso and Darryl Orso. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and your number, there is a line open, 877-217-5757. Back after this short pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us, 877-217-5757. And your number is in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. A listener writes, they're going to help Gwen Collins Green up the same way the Democrats helped Derek Edwards in his race against John Schroeder last year for treasurer. Kirk in Lafayette. Kirk, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Kirk Piccioni calling from Lafayette, and I am the immediate past president of Blue Acadiana. It's one of the grassroots organizations that started up after the 2016 election. So I'm the immediate past president. Our current president is Lenora Moe. We heard from both Collins Greenup and Renee Free. They both came and they spoke to our organization. We felt that they were both very strong, qualified, Democratic women candidates. We liked both of them. And so we endorsed both of them. And what I'm wondering is why the Democratic Party can't do the same thing. You had two very well-qualified, strong Democratic candidates. Why couldn't they have endorsed
I think I know the reason for this. They feared that if they endorsed both, that they would split the vote and two Republicans would make the runoff. As it turned out, it came very close last night to two Democrats making the runoff. In third place, Renee Fontenot-Free was only 60,000, actually less than that, about 60,000 votes behind Kyle Ardoin in first place. So there was perhaps a missed opportunity there. But But now I'm sure I do think the Democratic Party will be out full force for Gwen Collins Greenup, but I think everyone here would acknowledge she's got a really, really tough race ahead of her. But thank you very much for calling and providing us this information, Kirk. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And listening. Lindsay and Eunice. Hi, Lindsay. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to reference something that one of your callers a couple calls ago said, and I think one of your guests may have misinterpreted. She said something about Kool-Aid drinking Donald Trump followers. And it sounded like one of your guests interpreted that as a racist comment. And I think she was referring specifically to the euphemism that refers to the Jonestown cult. And
I think you're right. Brian, and thanks for calling. Brian in Lafayette. Brian, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good morning. It's an honor to be on your show. There's one issue I want to take with what the gentleman said about immigrants hurting the African-American community. No person who was an immigrant, whether a documented one or an undocumented one, has ever taken a job from anyone. If a person has come into this country, whether legally or illegally, and they get a job where an American citizen doesn't get a job, it's because the owner of that company made the decision to hire an undocumented worker. Nobody runs into a factory with guns saying, we demand to have the jobs. It doesn't happen. So if anyone is to be blamed, you should blame the owners of the companies, the factory managers, the farmers, not some person who came trying to make a better life for themselves.
You know, and let me tell you, the gentleman, you're right. I agree with you, because you know the old saying is that African American was good enough to pick cotton. Hell, they can pick fruit. I can tell you that right now. And that's what I talked to a number of people, not only in Louisiana but around this country. African Americans right now are real at a crossroads, and let me tell you why. Because a lot of these legislators, a lot of these governments, and a lot of these mayors are allowing illegals to walk out the side door, walk out the jailhouses. We go to jail, we pay bail. That's a conversation I had last night. And I can simply say all of the facts, and this is on both sides of the aisle, the Democrats and the Republicans, what this president has done is he's protecting the United States, the American citizens first. He's putting us first. The only last thing I want to say, Jim, if you go of any major city in this country, it is a shame to see veterans and individuals living on the interstates, on the side of highways, in one of the richest countries in America, and we're taking care of everybody else before we take care of our own. It's not good.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in under the wire with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso. And we played this yesterday and got some reaction. I think it's worth another listen. Roy Fletcher, the esteemed Republican political consultant, was at the Baton Rouge Press Club Monday. He looked ahead to 2020 and assessed, in his view, who the Democrats would be good to nominate as an opponent to Donald John Trump.
A Democrat can beat Donald Trump. I don't know. Joe, I don't know. I don't know who it is. I mean, you know, I mean, be honest, I find the most appealing of all of the Democrats is Kamala Harris. I'm being honest with you. I think she's tough and she's smart and she's pretty and she sort of gives off an appearance and an aura that, yeah, she's a pretty cool chick. I kind of like her. So did Willie Brown. Yeah.
All right. Trey Orso, your thoughts? Speechless again?
I don't know, Roy. You know, he's interesting guy. Look, she'd probably be a tough candidate. There's going to be a big field. There's going to be a lot of Democrats trying to win that
nomination. It'll be like the Republican field last time.
Yeah.
Which means somebody who's got magnetism and fame could end up, an Oprah Winfrey could end up being the Democratic nominee.
Yeah. I want to go back to what Daryl said a minute ago. I agree with him. I think it's awful that the homelessness in the United States and veterans that don't get the care they need, and we have that. You don't have to go all over the country, Daryl. We can go back downtown Baton Rouge right now and see it. I see it every day going to and from work and taking my kids to school. Maybe the president, instead of sending all those troops down to the border to wait for all these migrants who are 1,000 miles away, maybe he ought to take some of those troops and send them to the inner cities and trying to go take care of some of those veterans who aren't getting the care they need.
It's not the president of the United States. It is the Congress of the United States that they need to appropriate funding to take care of the own. Right.
Well, the president just said he's sending 15,000 troops to the border.
But he needs to send 30,000 to the border to stop them from coming in here and coming into these African American.
Send them to the inner cities and take care of the people who need care there.
Ann on Bluebonnet. Ann, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Ann.
Yes, good morning. I get so frustrated that your speaker is falling into the trap of dividing African Americans and immigrants when their interests are actually aligned. He didn't cite any studies. His facts are completely wrong on the issue of immigrants taking African Americans' jobs. None of that is backed up by any real study. And I just want to say it's also a false narrative to say we take care of everybody else before we take care of veterans.
All right. We're short on time, but Ann, thanks for your call.
Let me just say this.
All right, Darryl.
Look, it's not just taking jobs. See, everybody wants to talk about jobs. It's taking benefits. It takes $7,500 to take care of some of these immigrants when they come in this country. Now, what are we doing with the people that's here already?
All right. Hello?
Yes, Charlotte in New Iberia. Charlotte, good morning. You're on with Darryl and Trey. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Tim. Thank you for allowing me to contribute. Well, I would like to speak about the homelessness that both of your guests spoke about, and I think that one of the ways to combat it and combat the gentrification is not to raise all of the taxes on the older houses that are being taxed and just raise the prices of or the assessment on the bigger houses, so that way people aren't forced out of their places that they were born, their neighborhoods, and that will limit the amount of people forced onto the homeless condition.
All right. Uneven assessments. It's obviously going on in our state and in this community of Baton Rouge. Darryl and Trey, I think, are both in accord with you, Charlotte. That would be a way to raise money. But any attempt to raise money these days is viewed with skepticism by the electorate. Trey, that's a big problem.
Well, it's very hard to get any kind of revenue, through the through our legislature right now, and you know, the idea that Charlotte has to actually make the more wealthy people in the state of Louisiana pay a little bit more often faces a lot of resistance in our Republican-led legislature. So I think her idea may have some merit to try and help our seniors and lower wage income people, but it certainly would meet a lot of resistance.
A question from a listener. Holly asks if Nancy Pelosi will hold on as House Speaker. Is that going to happen, Trey, or will the Democrats go with somebody other than the 78-year-old Democrat from San Francisco?
I don't have any inside information there other than what you see on TV, but if I were a bet man, I'd say she probably does.
And you probably like that, Darryl Glasper.
No, let me tell you, Jim, the legislature is going to take care of their own business. And I want people to understand one thing. African Americans has been some of the most generous people in this whole world when it comes to that. But I can tell you that you know, in a discussion just 2 days ago with a number of African Americans, you know, the number one question was, is that all of these people talking about bringing illegal immigrants in this town, but they don't open their houses and they don't take the gates down in the gated communities and let them in, so that they have to go somewhere. And the problem is it's 20 million of them in this country illegally. Now what that's doing?
All right. Let's try to get we're very short on time. Bruce and City Place, you get the last word today. Bruce, you're on the air. Please be brief.
Sure. Darryl, you said the Congress should appropriate funds for the veterans that are homeless, but the Republicans had, you know, the House for 8 years, but they didn't do any of that.
All right. Bruce, you got the last word. Thanks for joining us. We're back tomorrow. Stay tuned.